when you catch the wind, they become my burden. No longer your burden. I'm gonna make you sail. I'm gonna get you there. You can rest. So shorten the preparation time by making sure you end his will praying in his name. And he says, and you have the confidence that he's gonna give you just what you ask. Did you know that the key to powerful prayer is when you can connect your prayers with his purposes? When those two connect, something has got to happen. But how does that happen? And what does it really mean? Well, this is Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I'm so glad to be with you again talking about this powerful, powerful, powerful subject of prayer where we're drawing from heaven in order to change earth. Let's find out how you connect God's purposes with your prayers and what that connection means. Today I want to talk to you about connecting prayer with God's purposes. Maybe the most important connection of all. What is prayer? One might simply define it as relational communication with God. The word was used in olden days of a sheepdog sitting at its master's feet waiting for instructions. Okay, I got that. Relational communication with God. But come on, help me. Help me to understand this thing. Okay, let me put it another way. Prayer is the divinely ordained link between the invisible and visible world. It is the divinely authorized means by which the natural connects with the supernatural and the supernatural connects with the natural. And it is God's only authorized means of contact. In order to understand this, you have to understand something that God did. God operated in the spiritual realm with angels, but then he created man and put him in the physical realm. And then guess what God said? He said, let them rule. I want man to act in the physical realm on my behalf from the spiritual realm. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to develop a communication system by which they can link with me in order for them to do in time what I'm wanting to be done from eternity. Guess what else God said? God said there are many things I am not going to do until they make contact, because I'm going to rule through them. Let them rule on the planet. So prayer is not some sort of casual, mundane exercise that you throw in before you eat. It was meant to be this mechanism of bringing heavenly involvement into historical context. It's a passport to a foreign land in order to address, clarify, or even reverse activity in history because of the attention that prayer does in connecting you with eternity. When Christians pray right, God says in heaven, hold it. Let's take a little look at this thing. And on many occasions, we'll reverse things. Because God has determined that his communication mechanism will be in prayer. Now, the problem that I'm hearing you say, although you're not yet verbally speaking, is, But I pray and nothing happens. I pray over and over and over again. In fact, I don't pray much anymore because it's like I'm just saying words and nothing is happening. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about how to make sure stuff starts happening. John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Is that what he says in verse 13? Okay, watch this now. He says, I have written that you might believe in order that you might know. Did I get that right? I have written so that you might believe with the result that you know. You know what? You know you have eternal life. Who in here knows they're saved? All right? Virtually every hand went up. I know I'm saved. Guess why you know you saved? If you saved and you know it, it's because you believed. You know you're saved because you believe. But what did you believe? What was written. You believed what was written, therefore you know you have eternal life. You say, but I thought you were going to talk to me about prayer. You got to go to verse 14. He says to those who know they're saved, these words in verse 14. He wants you in your salvation to make a connection. Now we know it's going to be tough for some of you, but stick with me. He wants you to make the connection, and this is the confidence we have before him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what is the result of that? Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request which we have asked of him. So guess what he's saying? Just like you know you're saved because you believe what was written, you ought to know you're going to get an answer because you believe based on what is written. Just like I'm confident I'm going to heaven, I can be confident this prayer is going to be answered. Okay? Now we're getting ready to go swimming. Stick with me. You say, I don't know how to swim. We're going to hold you up. Stick with me. Prayer is a way where God has given you and I the privilege of participating in the divine realm by making human contact. Okay, then how do I get to know that my prayers are going to be answered? Same way you know you have eternal life. You believe in the name. There it is. You got to believe in the name. A lot of folk use his name, will never go to heaven. You got to believe in his name in order to go to heaven. That is, you must place trust in his name. I would like to suggest to you now that the reason why more of us are not experiencing answered prayer is because of the misuse of his name. All right, let's go a little deeper. The disciples asked Jesus one day a penetrating question. They said, teach us to pray. Now that's a very interesting question. They never said, teach us to preach. Although they were with the greatest preacher that ever lived. Teach us to teach. Although they were with the greatest teacher, Jesus, that ever lived. They said, no. We want to know prayer. Why did they ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Because they saw Jesus was never turned down. Every single time he asked something from the Father, bingo, he's getting it. They said, we want that. John 14, verse 13, notice what he says. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, what? I will do it. Chapter 15, verse 16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Just so you don't miss the point, chapter 16, verse 23, he says, and in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for what? Anything, he will give it to you. How? In my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. He said, you got to do it in my name. If you want to get a response from my daddy, you've got to do it in my name. I would like to suggest to you that the reason why many of us are not getting answers to our prayers is that they're unauthorized. Even though we use Jesus' name, it's just that he ain't signed off on it. To use Jesus' name means that Jesus authorizes the request. He authorizes by his authority, based on who he is, what you're asking for. If he has not authorized it, using his name becomes meaningless. To put it another way, when you go before God, you need to show ID. The Father always authorizes the Son, and the Son always authorizes children who are carrying his ID, who has his name. So it is asking based on the authority of Jesus Christ. See, so knowing his name changes the nature of a thing. Let me put it another way. Jesus' name, this is the key word, gives you legal authority. Many of us, when we pray, go to God illegally, unauthorized. But the name of Jesus, that is, based on his permission, his authority, and his nature, gives you legal right. You have a right now to talk to God about what you're talking to God for, because God is going to answer that request. Legal right. Prayer is that point of connection. Every believer in Jesus Christ has stuff that works. Prayer is your switch. It turns it on so that you see it work. He says it's all tied to the name. Okay. Then how do I get his name to work? He tells you in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything, how many things? And I think anything means anything. There are no exceptions to the word anything. If we ask anything, here it is, according to his will. Now you know what he means by name. What he means by believing in his name when it comes to prayer is making your request in concert with his will. Why are so many of our prayers unanswered? Because what we're asking for is not what he's asking for. So he cannot give you what's against his will. So you know what we do? We go get it ourselves. Okay? Big problem. He says, if you ask it according to my will, you will get anything you ask for. Okay, so now, where do I discover his will? That becomes a question. Where do I find out what his will is? Well, let's go back to verse 13. And it is written that anyone who believes in the name of the Son of God will know. You find his will in two places. First of all, it is written. That's his revealed will, and that's in the Bible. The Bible is the revealed will of God. There are some of us where he has spoken in his revealed will who haven't gotten it because we've never asked for it. Everything that God wants to do to us, for us, and about us is not written in the Bible. In other words, The Bible doesn't tell me to marry Joe versus James. You can't find that specificity in the Bible. That's not there. But if I want to be in the will of God, I want to know what he wants. So I need you to tell me. I mean, I know what you told me in your written word. You told me they got to be a Christian, or you told me I got to take care of my family. You've given me God as a written word, but I need something that's more specific. Well, watch this. Now, remember when you got saved? You heard the word of the Lord. You heard somebody explain to you what was written. You believed it. And when you believed it, God took what was written and applied it to you. Now, what was written about, you know, whosoever believes on the Son of God hath eternal life, now became your eternal life. It left general and became so specific at the moment of faith. Now, watch this now. You became intimate with the Savior because you got saved. You accepted Jesus Christ. Once you're straight with the written word, then what God does is apply the written word to your personal situation. He personalizes it. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, by the way, folks. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, has been shed abroad in our hearts. Why is he there? To be a witness to the written word in your daily life. His job is to apply it to your name, which may be different than how he applies it to somebody else. That's why the Holy Spirit is such a powerful being in your Christian life, because his job is to, here it is, highlight it for you. You know, a highlighter where you go over something and now it jumps out at you. His job is to apply the word in your daily situations. How does he do it? He does it by your relationship. Jesus has just healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. All these sick people out there, and Jesus comes along and he sees this man. He comes over to this guy. He says, do you want to be made well? Guy says, well, yeah. Jesus says, well, take up your bed and walk. Guy takes up his bed and starts walking. And this man has been sick for over 30 years. And all of a sudden, Jesus passes by and says, you want to be made well? Come on, get up. The people who saw him do this said, whoa. What are you doing? You can't do that. Jesus responds to them. And look what he says in verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. Now, I don't know if you just caught that. Jesus is saying, you know why I healed him? Because I saw the Father healing him. When I saw, I got up this morning and I was spending time with God. And while I was spending time with God, I saw what God was doing in history. And when I saw what God was doing, he was healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. So now that I see that that's what the Father is doing, I'm going over here to the pool of Bethesda and we're going to heal this guy. In other words, I'm a manifest in history what I saw my daddy doing in eternity. That now tells you what prayer is supposed to be. Prayer is not supposed to be sitting down and saying, okay, bless my mother, bless my father, bless my kids, bless my job today, give me a raise, make sure my car doesn't break down, I want to thank you for food on my table and a roof over my head. Yeah, that's nice, but you can do that in 3 minutes. All right? That wasn't what Jesus was doing. He says, I positioned myself in the presence of God until God showed me what he was doing. What that meant was I wouldn't waste my time with all these other people. Because God wasn't doing anything with them. He was doing something with this man at the pool for 30-some years sick. So when I saw what he was doing, I went over and I participated in that. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He would spend an hour with God so that he'd only have to spend 1 minute with people. He'd walk over to people and say, this the one. Yeah, this the one. Rise, take up your bed and walk. He would spend an hour with God so he only had to spend a few minutes with people. We spend a minute with God so we got to spend years with people. We never find out what he is doing so that we can stop trial and error. Some of us ought to be tired of trial and error. But how do you know when a thought you're thinking is God's thought and you're not just making up thoughts? Simple. When God is talking to you, you know that you know. See, some things you know, other things you know that you know. If I ask you about 1 and 2, 1 and 1 equals 2, you won't say you know that. You would say you know that you know that. In other words, there is not a question mark. That's why he can say in 1 John, and we have this confidence. You're so confident that you know, because that thing was situated in the deepest part of your being, creating a thought. What's a thought? An unspoken word. What's a word? A spoken thought. So when God gives you an unspoken word, which is a thought coming from the deepest part of you, you just heard God talk to you by name. Because he creates confidence, 1 John says, inside of you that you have now heard from heaven. And now you can pray about it because you've already seen it. But if you're not intimate with him, then you won't hear what he has to say. Because he'll be talking like this and you won't know what in the world he's talking about because you're so far away from what he is saying. Now you could hardly hear me because you're too far away from me. See, the reason why many of us read the Bible but don't hear his voice is we read it long distance. We'll come to church and we'll bring the revealed word, but then we'll stay distant from here and never hear the whisper. How do you know when the Holy Spirit's highlighting something, verifying it? Two ways, two predominant ways. One is he will give you a scripture to confirm it. He will give you a rhema word. The Bible is the Logos. It's the total written word of God. Then there's the Rhema word. The Rhema word is that spoken word, that word that's applied to your situation. That's when the Holy Spirit highlights a text. God will use his written word as a Rhema to confirm his written word as a Logos if you're close enough to hear it. If you're far away, you'll read the revealed word as a Logos and never be hit with a Rhema word for your application. It's distance that turns the Logos into the Rhema. And then ultimately he confirmed it through circumstances by making the provision. What I'm trying to say to you today is that your whole life can be totally transformed by prayer if it's in his name, which means it's according to his will, based on his word, applied by his spirit to your situation. And you can have this confidence that whatever you ask in his name, he will give. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? You make this connection and nothing is the same in your life. Now we got to answer one other question. Now we got a zinger. You can mess up the timing. Israel's trip should have taken a few days. It wound up taking 40 years. Because they messed up the timing. They wouldn't let God prepare them for the answer that God promised he would give them. So the question is, do we want to spin our wheels or do we want to make a connection? The connection of prayer with God's purposes. Eagles. Eagles are known for soaring, right? You know, have you ever watched an eagle? With them long wingspans, that bird will do this twice. Just two times to go. Homeboy be gliding. Then after a while, it'll do it. And you look up and you say, watch that eagle soar. You know why? Because that eagle is depending on wind gust and updraft. See, when it does that and catches the wind and creates the updraft, that creates the support for the glide. He just catches it and keeps going. It can go for hours and hours just doing this every now and again. You will never see an eagle do this. You'll never see an eagle do that. Never! You never see eagles burnt out. They don't do that. If they tried to do it, it'd kill them. Because those wings are so heavy that when they ran out of steam, they'd crash land and die. No. Eagles catch the draft. Oh, it's getting a little still out here. Somebody here tonight is tired of doing this. I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to make it. I'm doing the best I can. I can't take it anymore. I'm trying. It's not working. Holy Ghost is saying, come on now. Catch the wind. Link into my will and you don't have to do all that. He says, guess what he says? He says, my commandments are not burdensome. So if they're a burden to you, you ain't doing this thing right. My commandments, why? Because when you catch the wind, they become my burden. No longer your burden. I'm gonna make you sail. I'm going to get you there. You can rest. So shorten the preparation time by making sure you're in his will, praying in his name. And he says, and you have the confidence that he's going to give you just what you ask for. Again, we hope you were challenged by today's message on prayer, and it's all about prayer right now. We want you to know the power of prayer, and to help you to know it better and deeper, for a gift of any amount, we'll send you our CD series, The Power of Prayer. There's a lot of power connected to prayer when we are utilizing it correctly. I also want to tell you about a brand new book called Kingdom Prayer. Now, there are a lot of books out on prayer, but this one has a little twist to it because it's emphasizing the issue of authority. Because prayer was given as a mechanism to grab the authority in heaven and implement it in history. And often the authority of prayer is not talked about enough. And so we've written this book called Kingdom Prayer. You can get Kingdom Prayer any bookstore. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it here at our ministry. But we want you to get Kingdom Prayer so that you recognize the authority to touch heaven in order to intervene and to change earth. So we look forward to hearing from you here at the Urban Alternative. Remember, you can get the CD series for a gift of any amount. Contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to tonyevans.org. And we've got these resources and many others for you. We need your help. We need your generous financial support. We need your prayers. Thank you. God bless you. Until next time.